The opinions expressed by the interviewees on the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show and those providing comments are theirs alone and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the Upfront and the Prophetic radio show or any employee thereof. Upfront and the Prophetic radio show is not responsible for the accuracy of any of the information supplied by the interviewees.
Welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People of Prophetic Power Ministries. Your hosts, Alan and Francine Fosdick, invite you to tune in to Upfront in the Prophetic every week, where it's natural living in the supernatural, and where the true prophetic is off the chain and right on. Alan and Francine are anointed prophetic ministers of the gospel who are raising up a supernatural generation for an end-time army of believers to establish and advance the kingdom of God with love, signs and wonders, miracles and prophetic abilities, which are needed for the last day harvest. Be prepared to call in with your questions and be ready to chat with their special guests from around the world. Their hunger and thirst for Jesus is radically infectious. Please join us now live with Alan and Francine on this edition of Upfront in the Prophetic. Catch the fire.
Incredible.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Upfront in the Prophetic, a production of People Prophetic Power Ministries. We are so delighted that you are here with us today, and I tell you what, we have an awesome guest. We are so privileged and blessed to have Andre Ashby with us today. What a blessing. He was able to come to Keepers of the Flame and minister there, and I am telling you what, we knew that he was coming in, so our hearts were being prepared, and I'm telling you, we totally got whacked. We totally got whacked yesterday. The Spirit of God was just so sick in that place, and so many people were ministered to, lives transformed. It was such a blessing. And I tell you, you know, a little bit about Andre. He has a prophetic ministry, and I tell you, when he sings, the presence is so tangible of the Lord. It just moves into that place, and the atmosphere is just changed. It's awesome. It's so awesome. So wherever you see or hear of him coming into town, I urge you to go to that conference, go to that gathering, so that you too will be touched in a special way where the Lord wants to touch you in that day. But a little bit about Andre. He's been ministering for about 16 years worldwide with a burning desire to see the body of Christ passionately in love with Jesus and moving in the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So with that, Andre, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic.
Good to be here.
Oh, my gosh. What a blessing. What a blessing. And I know that you just have so many things that's going on, but you put a little time for us today. So we just are praising the Lord that those that are going to listen to this broadcast are going to be changed, that the Lord is just going to touch them in a mighty way. And I'd like for you to start off, though, Andre. You grew up in Kansas, and tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. Actually, it's Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, growing up.
There we go. That's a big difference, isn't it?
So you're from Kansas. I'm like, oh, no. I'm from Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri is a big city. Actually, my mother said my father raped her, so I came supposedly from a rape situation. And I knew my mother never really liked me. And when I was 11 months old, she gave me to my great uncle and aunt, and they both were alcoholics. And they raised me till I was 11, and they died 7 months apart. Then I moved with my great grandmother. So, it was a pretty rough upbringing. I had an uncle who was a hitman. I had pretty messed up family. I always told the Lord, you know, this whole generational blessing thing, I didn't have much to work with when it came to that. Pretty interesting upbringing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason why I love for you to share your story like you are is because there are so many people out there that are in your same situation. You know, they come from perhaps a broken home, or even a mom who was raped. Their mom was raped, and now they're abandoned. And yet the Lord moved. I mean, you said something really key. You said, you know, with the generations, you didn't have much anything to go to, you know, or with to, you know, to hop onto, and yet the Lord moved because He knew the call on your life and what He wanted to do, and that is just so awesome. And talking about the call of your life, I mean, you actually had an experience when you were 4 years old, right?
Yeah, when I was 4 or 5, so in that time period, I began to have dreams, and in the dreams the Lord would visit me, and actually what would happen, I would go up to a window. It was so, you know, and I had the dream so many times that I can't remember the number of times, but it was always the same. I would go up to this window, and I would begin to speak to the Lord, and He would speak to me, and He would basically say, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you. So when people ask me, when did you meet the Lord, I'm like, well, as far back as I remember, I knew Him. And it's because He introduced Himself to me, you know. So I didn't have like an experience in church where, you know, that sudden salvation experience. God pursued me and introduced Himself to me in the midst of a pretty messed up situation.
Wow. And He spoke the scripture to you. I mean, His word, He spoke to you. Yeah. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, my gosh. Wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. So what happened after that? I mean, you have this awesome experience.
Well, it's interesting because I remember we lived in an apartment, a flat, like 4 apartments, and we lived on the 2nd floor. And I remember going out like on Sunday mornings and realizing that the atmosphere felt different, but I didn't know why. Mm-hmm. I just knew it felt different than every other day. And then I realized Sunday was when people went to church to meet with God. So I remember at 5 years old telling my great aunt, I want to go to church. And so she would get me up, dress me, walk me up to the Methodist church on the corner, and she wouldn't go in. She'd leave me up there and then come back and get me. So I've been in church ever since I was 5 years old.
Wow.
Not because anybody took me, because I wanted to go there because that's where people met with God. Which really kind of confused me when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, but that's a whole other story.
Isn't that something, though? I mean, because you felt the presence on Sunday, and
yeah,
you knew that there was a shift in the atmosphere,
literally,
that something spiritually, supernaturally, was going on all around the world. I mean, I think that is pretty remarkable. I mean,
yeah,
how the Lord works in that way, wooing you, you know, even on that special day. And then, okay, you went from a Methodist church, and come on now, you went to a Seventh-day Adventist church.
Well,
I mean, you know.
I had a little in between. I went from Methodist, I was Baptist for a while, then I became a Pentecostal. Then when I was 12 years old, going on 13, my auntie is a Seventh-day Adventist, still Seventh-day Adventist today. She invited me to church, you know, because by this time, I had moved with my great grandmother. She was 84 years old, so I basically raised myself.
Right.
So my auntie invited me to church, and I liked it. I liked the music, and I was like, okay, if I can stop eating hot dogs because you don't eat pork, and if I can stop watching cartoons on Saturday morning, I'm going to join the Adventist Church. And so I joined and spent the rest of 15 years trying to figure out why.
Wow.
So, I literally really became an Adventist theologian. I went to Adventist college, became a theology major.
Wow.
Got engrossed in Adventist doctrine, so much so that when people wanted to debate Adventism, you know, then they would call me over. Like Jehovah's Witnesses, they stopped by the house, they would, my other Adventist friends would invite me over so I could argue with the Jehovah's Witness. Because I was a really good debater, and I, you know, I could win. You know how you win the battle, but you lose the war.
Right.
But I got my point across. So
right,
that's part of my journey being a Seventh-day Adventist.
Wow. That's really amazing too, because you can see how the Lord has used you in that avenue. I mean, being a debater of the faith, you know, but Seventh-day Adventist. And, you know, so when somebody else comes along that is, you know, Methodist or, you know, from a different sect, that you'll be able to really be able to communicate to them the true word of God. So what happened while you were at the Seventh-day Adventist church that made you start to think that, well, I think, you know, I'm not in the right place here?
Well, it's really interesting. It's from reading early Adventist writings and how they had church and experienced God. I mean, these people, the power of God would come, and they wouldn't be under the power for an hour. They'd be under the power for days. Mm-hmm. And so I would read like stuff like in selected messages and early writings of the church, and I would go, okay, God, if you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever, if you did that then, how come you're not doing it now? I don't understand that. And so I remember, you know, singing in the Adventist church and getting in trouble because when I sang, the Lord would come, but I didn't know it was God. You know, I didn't know what was going on. They told me it was the devil.
Right.
Like, literally, I had a lady who came up to me and said, Andre, you know, what they call me, Tyrone, you know, when you sang, the devil was really trying to get me. And I'm like, really, what did the devil do? He said, well, it was like electricity hit me from the top of my head and went to the soles of my feet. Well, now I knew it was the Holy Spirit, but back then I was like, God, why are you letting the devil get people when I'm singing? I don't get it.
Right.
So it started me on this journey of going, okay, there must be something more than just going to church on Saturday. So there was a Church of God in Christ pastor. His name was Brother Freeman, who married an Adventist sister and came into the church. And so he became safe for me. So I started asking him questions. And so I really got interested in the whole moving of the Holy Spirit and all this kind of thing. I left. I went away to college. I came back from college, and I got a job working at Waddell & Reed. Well, while I was working at Waddell & Reed, I met a girl there. Her name was Sherry Brown. She was a Church of God in Christ evangelist. And it confused me because I could feel the presence of the Lord around Sherry. But it didn't make sense to me because I was taught if you went to church on Sunday, you really didn't love God. You were just going through the motions. I forgot to tell you, when I was 16, I met my father, who happened to be a Baptist preacher. So,
oh, my gosh.
So everything that I saw, that was true. If you went to church on Sunday, you're just going through the motions. You really didn't love God. But Sherry was different. So I decided, I'm going to get Sherry out of the Church of God in Christ Church and get her into the Adventist Church.
Because she's being deceived. Isn't
yeah, she's being deceived. But it's evident that she loves God because I can feel God around her.
Uh-huh.
You know, the same kind of thing I felt on Sunday mornings when I was a kid, I felt around Sherry. So I'm like, I knew she knew the Lord. I just was confused. And, well, why is she on the Sunday church?
Right.
Well, that started a journey with me where I started going to church with Sherry on Sundays, and I would go to my church on Saturdays. And I remember the first time I went to church with Sherry, she was preaching, and it was a little church, not very many people. And I remember the whole church at the end got in the prayer line, except for me, because I'm like, Sherry, I love you, but you're not laying hands on me and putting a demon in me. That's not going to happen. And so, you know, Sherry later asked me why I didn't get in. I said, you're not going to put a demon in me. Are you crazy? I'm not letting you do that. And so I went to another meeting with Sherry. And this time I made a deal with God. I said, okay, God, I really love Sherry. You know, can I just, you know, go up and let her pray for me? I know that, you know, a demon might come, but would you just protect me? And so I remember going up front. And Sherry laid hands on me. And all I remember is that I went backwards. And people told me that it looked like my head literally began to touch the floor.
Wow.
So I did a back bend. And I was really heavy at that time. I used to weigh like 300-some pounds. And I remember thinking, God, I can't fall out in front of all these people. And I straightened up. The Lord lifted off of me, and I went back and sat in my seat. And I was confused. I didn't know what happened, and I'm going, okay, this is strange. I don't know what's going on here. But it really started drawing me that there's got to be something more than just going to church on Saturday. So like I said, I would go to church on Sunday with Sherry, and I'd go to church on Saturday because that's what I was supposed to do. But when I would go to church on Sunday, I would get gripped by fear, literally, that I was going to hell. Because, you know, you're taught in the Adventist church, you leave the Adventist church, you go to a Sunday church, you know, you go straight to hell, do not pass, go. That's what happens. And so I remember walking into on a Sunday morning, and the power of God was moving like crazy. And I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, if this is the devil, he's outdoing you. And I just could not see myself being outdone by the devil. So I went home that night, and I remember having a dream. And people didn't realize, back in Kansas City, back in the day, you know, Kansas City was a pretty dangerous place, had the third highest murder rate in the nation. Of course, that's per capita of people. And so in this dream, I'm walking through a really scary part of Kansas City. And this tall guy with blonde hair came and walked in front of me. And I instinctively followed him. And we went into this house. And I remember it was a brown screened-in porch. He went inside the house. I stood outside on the porch. And I didn't leave because I wanted to thank him, because I felt like, wow, this guy saved my life. So when he came outside, he handed me a white piece of paper. And when I opened up the paper, written on it, he never said a word to me, written on it was, in all your ways acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. And I woke up from the dream. So I knew it was the Lord that was walking me through this scary time, and then it was okay to leave the Adventist church.
Right.
So that's when I left.
Wow. So then you end up in another church, and then James Gall is there.
Yeah, I ended up in Kansas City Fellowship, you know, Mike Bickle,
right, sure.
IHOP, all that. And, yeah, it was really interesting because it was my first Sunday there. And the only people who knew I could sing was my friends who came with me from school, because I went back to school again to study vocal performance. And so James is preaching and teaching on the prophetic. Now, I didn't know anything about the prophetic. Only thing I knew about the prophetic was that Ellen G. White was the prophetess of the Adventist Church. And you know that whole scripture that says, you know, in the last days he poured his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. Adventists really believe, and Ellen White will prophesy. And so, just a funny story. When I first joined the church, like I said, I was 12 going on 13. They talked about Ellen G. White so much that I finally asked my auntie, can you introduce me to this lady? Y'all talk about her so much, I need to meet her.
Right.
And my auntie just started laughing. She goes, she died in 1915. So, you know, so that Ellen White was the prophetic to me. Well, anyway, I go in the church, Jim Gall is teaching about the prophetic, and all of a sudden he stops and he goes, you, what's your name? And I'm like, me? And he goes, yes, you. And I'm like, my name is Andre. He goes, do you know what the prophetic song of the Lord is? And I'm like, no. He said, well, God says it's in you, and you're going to sing it today. And so they pull me up front, and I'm going, God, you got to help. Because I tried for a year to write a song, but I couldn't think of words. So coming up with words was not my strong suit. So James sang over me, and it seemed like it was 20 minutes. I'm sure it wasn't. But he said, he was singing stuff like, you're one of the new breed, all this kind of stuff. Then I have a clue what he was talking about. So he stopped, and he said, okay, now you sing. He put the microphone in my mouth.
Oh, that's a scary moment, isn't it?
It's very scary. Well, God, if you don't do something, it's going to be dangerous.
It's either you or I don't know what's going on.
But I felt this thing come out. You know how Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water?
Yeah.
Well, I felt like a river coming up out of me, and I opened my mouth. I began to shake under the power of God. And as I sang, My friend who came with me fell out on the floor. People all over the room began to weep. And we went back and forth for probably half an hour, 40 minutes, something like that. I'm not sure. And so God had given a gift. Mm-hmm. But I always would say, and God rebuked me, so I can't say it anymore, that I was like Doubting Thomas. That, you know, so now I just say I have Thomas-like tendencies.
So, right.
It took 2 years for me to believe that it was really God. And so for 2 years, I would get prophetic songs. I wouldn't sing them.
Wow.
And I remember, I don't know if you know Joanne McFadden.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, we had her on the show. Oh, okay. Lord.
I love Joanne. And we've been friends for 21 years. And I used to think everybody hated me, so I believed that Joanne hated me. And but I was singing on the platform with Joanne, and I finally got, you know, well, here, let me go back. I made a deal with God. I said, I'm going to sing with Joanne, but I'm not singing the prophetic song, so don't even ask me. I'm not doing
it. Bad move.
Bad move. Never say to God what you're not going to do. So I'm on the platform, and the next thing I know, a prophetic song is flying out of my mouth. Mm. After it's over, I'm like, you are so stupid. I can't believe that you just did that. You sang a prophetic song in front of Joanne McFadden. And so I finally got the nerve to go ask Joanne. I said, Joanne, can I ask you a question? She's like, sure. I'm like, how do you know it's God? And she said, most of the time I don't. And I'm like, and you too? And so it was really freeing to me.
Sure.
To let me know, you know what, if it sticks in the three things of prophecy, encouragement, exhortation, and edification,
amen,
then it's safe, you
yeah.
know? And God's not up in heaven with a baseball bat waiting to beat you up because you messed up. He's up in heaven going, wow, I'm so proud of you. You tried.
Amen. I love that, Andre, because there's a lot of people on the air just listening saying, oh, my gosh, I wondered the same thing. You know, how do you know? Is it really God? You know, it's like, I don't know. I just flow, you know, and
yeah.
and trust in him. And, oh, go on, Andre. This is good.
So after that, I met Jill Austin. Jill moved to Kansas City. And this my second time in life being called out publicly was with Jill. And she goes, you! And I go, oh no, here we go again. And she calls me up and she begins to prophesy over me and describe what I went through that morning. I was on the platform singing again. And she said, Andre, the prophetic spirit came in the room. I could feel his presence and I knew it was resting on you. But you wouldn't sing. You said to the Lord, Lord, should I do it now? And the anointing lifted. And so then it came again and lifted, and you went through this process. And finally the Lord took you to the edge of the cliff and kicked you off and made you fly. And that's literally what I went through that morning. Like, okay, God, should I do it now? Or is this, you know, so she described the conversation I was having with God in my head that morning. And so she began to prophesy about golden wings, all the stuff that I didn't understand. And Jill then moved to Kansas City in the fall. I helped her move into her house. And in the fall of 94, I started traveling with Jill. And,
wow, what a blessing.
Yeah, it was awesome. I traveled with Jill, and what I would do was I would sing prophetically as she ministered. So she would give me a topic, sing about well, one funny thing, she would say, sing about the ring and the robe. I'm like, okay, the ring and the robe. So I have to sing about the ring and the robe. And so I kind of got trained in the whole prophetic ministry in the fire. Well, on Saturdays, I would do a prophetic workshop where I taught on the prophetic. And so that's how I started to transition from simply singing into speaking.
I love that, too.
Yes,
oh, my gosh, you could see such a flow in that because, you know, at Keepers of the Flame, when you were ministering, you sang and then you flowed into the prophetic and then back and forth, and it was just awesome. And I honestly did not know that that's how you moved in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's just, I love it. Spontaneous, just hearing from the Holy Ghost and what to do. the best thing ever. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And that's what I learned from Jill, you know, because Jill was my spiritual mom. I mean, she's with the Lord now. Mm-hmm. The thing I learned from Jill was her dependence on the Holy Spirit. I've been around a lot of really anointed people, but often people orchestrate what they want the meaning to be.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I learned from Jill was she simply followed him. And where he rested is where she stayed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I learned from Jill, is to not to try to make anything happen, but to wait and to follow him. And when he's moving, do what he does.
Amen. That's really, we believe, it's the only way to flow, only way to go, with the Holy Ghost's guidance. You know, don't leave home without him, right? Absolutely. You know, I mean, when did you start singing? When did you know that, wow, God has just, you know, put this awesome gift in me? Did you always know it?
Well, I sang my whole life.
Okay.
Actually, my auntie, the same auntie who was a Seventh-day Adventist, she has a newspaper clipping of me. When I was like five, you know how they have summer camp or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And I'm sitting on the front row, and I have my arms folded, and my legs crossed, and my head's back, and my mouth is wide open singing. And the caption under it, it says, "There's no swinging in his singing." She still has that article.
Really?
And so I always sang. I always loved to sing. My father was a singer, you know, so he his nickname was Goldie. Because they said he had the golden voice.
Mm.
And but I never sang publicly, like as a solo in church, until I was 12 years old when I became a Seventh-day Adventist. And so after that is when the Lord would come and I would get in trouble, and they would tell me, "You sing like a Baptist," or "You sing like a Pentecostal." And I would say to them, "Well, if you knew Jesus the way I know him, you'd sing like me too." So, yeah, so I've always known that I could sing and always loved to sing. So, yeah.
Wow. And I have to say that you too have the golden voice from the throne room. Hallelujah. His glory is all over it, that's for sure. And I'm going to put you on the spot too. Today, as you know, is my birthday. And my husband was praying that God would bless me with something special today. And Andre, would you sing to me from the throne? Because that would be such a blessing and one of the best gifts ever.
Okay, sure, I'll ask the Lord.
Amen.
Give me something. My grace is sufficient for you, for I am opening up the windows of heaven over you. For I am all you need. I'm more than enough for you. My grace is sufficient for you. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father. Mm. Amen. And it is, isn't it?
Mm.
For us all. Praise God. And bless his holy name.
Amen.
You know, there's been so many experiences when you minister and worship. And would you share some of those that you've seen? I mean, one that sticks out to me was like the cloud. You know?
Yeah, that was fun. Actually, I wasn't singing. I was speaking. But I was teaching about prophetic worship. I was in Korea. It was my first time being in South Korea. And I was talking about St. Chronicles 5. You know, you talk about the priest couldn't stand and minister because the glory of the Lord was there. Well, as I'm up there, I look out in the back of the room, and through the back wall, there's a cloud that starts coming in the room. And I go, "Wow, God, that's cool. What do you want me to do with that?" He said, "Well, stand the people up back there." I said, "Okay." So I stood the people up. And when I did, the power of God hit them. And I remember Pastor Kim, who walked in the room, she literally, her legs came off the ground, she flew back, was slammed into the door.
Mm.
Another lady hit the ground and began to roll from one side of the room to the other. And the Lord said to me, "Ask the people in the the room in the front to stand up, see if they can see the cloud. So I said to my translator, I said, would you ask the people in the front to turn around and see if they can see the cloud? When I said that, her eyes were open. She saw the cloud, and everybody in the room saw the cloud. Well, at that point, an angel flew and stood next to me. And I didn't see him. I could feel him. And I said to my translator, can you feel the angel standing next to me? When I said that, she shot backwards, did a U-turn, and I had to catch her to keep her from flying off the stage. Well, at this point, the angel whispered in my ear. He said, you see the young man right there? I said, yes. He said, I want you to stand him up, and this is what I want you to tell him. And so I just repeated what I heard the angel said. And the power of God hit this young guy. He fell out under the power. This was like 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And he got up in the middle of me speaking at 9 o'clock that night. So he was gone all day long. So I love going to Korea because I've seen God do incredible things there. So.
Yeah, you actually, one of your CDs, what, was that produced there in Korea, The Throne? Before The Throne.
Well, Before The Throne is a compilation. There are some things that I did in Korea there, but there's also some things from New York, from Minneapolis, Connecticut, so all over. But I am doing a CD and just had a pre-release one called Psalms, Hymns, and Spiritual Songs. I'm doing it with my friend Scott Brenner. We've been friends for 16 years. He's a pastor in Korea now. He married a Korean young woman. And so, yeah, we're doing that together. So I love going to Korea. Going back in October.
This October?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Actually, it's me, Joanne McFadder, Steve Swanson, and we're doing a worship conference in South Korea. So, yeah.
Praise God. Well, everyone, you've heard it. Start interceding for this because this is really huge. Amen for travel mercies and that people's lives will be changed. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, you know, you've had gold dust, too. You know, the first time we saw gold dust, or for me, was on Mahesh Shabda. And I was sitting there and I'm like, what the heck is that shiny stuff all over him? I mean, it started off like real little, and then it just like it just grew on him. And I'm looking up in the ceiling going, who's throwing that sparkle, the sprinkle stuff, you know? I'm like, what's going on here? You know, it was all new to me. But that happened to you, too.
Yeah, well, you know, it doesn't usually come on me. It usually comes on other people.
Really?
When I'm ministering. So, I'll tell you a this is funny. I was in an African-American church in North Carolina, and right outside of Charlotte. And the first night was really difficult. I went home and I was like, God, did I do something wrong? I mean, the Lord just didn't come.
It was like really pushing through?
Like, just like beating your head against the wall. But that morning, I had an encounter with God for 2 hours, and I was just weeping before him. And that night, the Lord came like crazy. I mean, wow, that's probably irreverent. He came powerfully.
Right.
And so 13 people got gold teeth.
Wow.
Gold dust came. Feathers came. One guy who was the pastor's right-hand man had walked away from the Lord. He was at home. This was a Wednesday night. He was at home. Gold dust came on him at home. He found out what was going on in the church, came back, gave his heart back to the Lord, and now is running like crazy for the Lord. The pastor's mother had silver in her mouth. She went to the dentist, and she asked the dentist, he said, what did you put in my mouth? He said, I put silver in your mouth. She goes, it's not silver anymore. And he goes, what are you talking about? He checked it out. It's literally, it's not gold plating. It became solid gold. She was going to Florida to visit some of her relatives. Her nephew is dating a girl who's a pastor's daughter, who is mad at God, didn't want anything to do with God. she was showing everybody the gold in her mouth, and the girl wouldn't even look. And she said, "Why wouldn't you come and look?" And she goes, "I don't want anything to do with that." And so the next morning, the girl is in the mirror combing her hair. And as she's combing her hair, gold dust begins to fall out of her hair, on her face. She comes running back to the church and gives her heart back to the Lord.
Praise God. So
that was pretty powerful. So I've had lots of experience with gold dust. I was in another meeting, and I was with a prophet Pringle is his last name.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, yeah, he's a great guy. I love him. And he's sitting on the front row, and I'm talking, and all of a sudden, gold dust covers the front row and covers his Bible. And I can't remember, I think he was in Isaiah 53, he had it open too, and gold dust just covers his Bible, and the people there flip out and start screaming, "God is here, God is here."
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I've seen some pretty cool stuff, seen the Lord do some pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I believe, because of you spending that quality time with the Lord, that going deeper into the presence, into his presence. Wouldn't you say that's a key factor of these occurrences, Andre?
Well, I think yes, and I think no. I think God sovereignly does as he chooses.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does come out of developing a relationship with him and loving him and intimacy with Jesus, because actually the Lord told me he wants more than intimacy. He wants divine union. So it is about becoming one with God and allowing God to do what he chooses to do. It doesn't happen all the time. It didn't happen yesterday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just when God chooses to do something, allowing him to do it and just...
Let God be God.
Let
right?
God be
when
God.
When he wants to be, you know, show up or not. I mean, you know, in gold dust or whatever.
However he chooses.
Well, however.
And what I found is he goes in seasons. Like, there's seasons where he does that a lot with me, and there's seasons when it doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay, you know?
Amen.
Whatever he wants to do, it's fine.
Amen. I know there's a lot going through your mind, too, honey.
Well, I was just thinking earlier, as Andre was talking about, he studied theology at the college there. You had it, that right there showed me that you had a quest for God.
Yeah.
You were studying God, you had that relationship, and he kept drawing you into that relationship you have, and that I thought that was significant, that he had that experience at an earlier time in his life to really get to know God. And that's what our listeners need to know. There needs to be quality time to get to know. If you really pursue God with your whole heart, he's going to show you his ways. Wouldn't you say that's true?
I think that's definitely true. And I'm really grateful for the time I had in the Seventh-day Adventist Church, because it grounded me in the Word of God, because they stress, study to show thyself approved, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Now, they might have some things wrong,
mm-hmm.
but understanding the Word of God is a big thrust in the Adventist Church, and I have a basis in the Word, and I love the Word of God because it was grounded in me. So, yeah, that's why I studied theology. I just wanted to understand who God was. And I still am on a quest to understand God. So, you know.
I like what you
said.
Somebody was talking about putting God in a box. Was that, I think, yesterday when you were speaking? Or maybe it was Brian.
I
think that's so significant, because I remember one time we were talking to some people, and they said, if you try to put God in a box, you leave, you come back, and you find that box ripped to shreds, because
yeah.
God will not be contained by our finite thinking and his infinite ways.
That's so true.
And the topic yesterday was just...
Yeah, you know, because you hear a lot about the purpose-driven church, and
yeah.
you talked about the presence-driven church. And I really see that. I mean, you talked about how the Lord has showed you that. And tell us a little bit more about that, because that was powerful.
I just really believe that the Lord is raising up churches, or I don't even want to call them churches, movements,
sure.
that are based around his presence, where it's just like Israel was led by the cloud by day and the fire by night. God is raising up houses of worship that don't have an agenda, you know, that don't have, well, you can have a liturgy, but maybe God will say, well, today I want to do it backwards, you know, and just flip it, and you're, oh, that's okay, because it's about his presence. That is the most important thing. You know, the Lord told me years ago, you know, when I say that I'm going to bless you, it means I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to give you myself. My blessing is my presence. And so it's the most important thing to have him. And I think we've lost that in the church. And the sad thing is so many churches, God could leave and we could still do church because we know how to do church.
Right.
But I believe the Lord is raising up a fire-branded people who burn for him.
Mm.
Like often when I'm in places, I hear the Lord say, where are my burning ones? Where are the ones that burn with passion for me?
Mm.
You know, where are the ones that I am the first thing on the list?
Okay.
You know, it's not just he's just one thing, but I'm the list. You know, when it says God is a jealous God, that's what it's about. I remember watching a program with Oprah where she talked about that's why she started going to this New Age stuff. It's because she heard the pastor preach that God was a jealous God, and she was like, well, I can't see how God could be jealous of me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'm like, Oprah, you don't get it. He's not jealous of you. He's jealous for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he won't share you with something else.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is raising up a people who are led by his presence, you know, and there's a thing in theology that's called the law of first mention. And if God did it that way in the beginning, then more than likely he's going to continue doing that way. Well, he, in the beginning, was his spirit brooded over the face of the deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been about God's spirit brooding, and then out of that place, creativity being released. So the Lord, maybe we should call these new movements God's a place of brooding, God's spirit brooding over those places. And then out of that brooding, he's released to do what he wants to do.
Amen.
So I think that's where we're headed, you know, the remnant or whatever you want to call it.
Sure. I believe that too. You know, I had just read a book, and I can't even remember the author, but it is a woman, and it's called The Unquenchable Flame. And she talks about the cup of his suffering and Jesus Christ dying on the cross, what he had to go through, what he saw before he did it, and just the church getting back to that, like you said, and that flame then won't go out. But see, the church has been over here and over there and over everywhere, you know, prosperity doctrine, nothing against that.
Right.
But, you know, everywhere else, and... But where's Jesus, you
right.
know? So when we get back to that, you're saying that flame starts to burn and those things follow, you
right.
know? So that's powerful.
Yeah,
and,
praise the Lord.
Yeah, the message, I mean, again, yesterday was absolutely powerful in regards to the presence.
You know, it's kind of scary when you think about it, that we know how to do church. We could actually have a service without the Spirit of God being there. I mean, that's pretty scary stuff.
Dangerous, yeah.
You know, it just reminds me of a relationship when you're pursuing that mate. You're you know, you're going after him with everything that you have. But once you get familiar with somebody, you get casual with them. And we can never get casual with God, because God is that revelation you were sharing with us, how they bow down. You're always getting that revelation over and over and over, the holiness of the
holy
greatness
holy.
And the goodness of God. I mean, you just, it's staggering. I mean, it's awesome.
It is, it is. And what else would you say that the Lord is pressing upon your heart at this time, Andre?
Well, I really feel like that the season that we're living in is, you know, I heard the Lord, I was sitting in a meeting one time, and the Lord said to me, what time is it? And you know, if God's asking you a question, it's not because he needs to know the answer. And I was like, well, Lord, you know what time it is. And he began to share with me where we're at, and that it's time, the violent take it by force, and, And that really we've interpreted that scripture wrong. When you look at the Greek, you know, I always used to look at it like, that means, you know, the enemy is coming against the church with his pitchforks and guns and knives. So you pick up your pitchfork and guns and knives and you go after him. But when you look at the Greek, really, that's not what that scripture means. Really, if you look at it, it says when the kingdom suffers violence. When you look at it in the Greek, really what it means is the kingdom suffers the influence of the enemy's advances.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the violent take it by force means that really we resist with everything in us. So we resist what the enemy's influencing.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord is saying it's time for us to begin to resist what the enemy's encroaching into the kingdom. You know, we don't have to live like the world lives. We don't have to live under the tenets of religion. We resist with a vengeance and says, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to live. I'm going to be led by the cloud by day and the fire by night.
Yeah.
I don't have to walk and submit to the tenets of what you say that I have to live. And the Lord began to speak to me about revolution. You know, and how we pray for revival. And he said, Andre, revival's not big enough.
Whoa.
Revival's not big enough. He said, I want revolution.
Wow.
What happens when revolution comes? It's a forcible takeover or overthrow of another system. And he said, Andre, revival is for the church. What does the word revival mean? Revival means something was alive, it died, and it has to be revived.
Mm-hmm.
He said, revolution is for the world.
Mm.
He said, I'll revive the church so that the world can be revolutionized.
Wow.
That there's another movement that's coming that's going to shake up the world system. And it's kind of like God's going to begin to raise up, you know, people like the guy who ran around saying the British is coming.
Paul Revere.
That same kind of anointing he's raising up spiritually in people where he's going to, but people are going to be not saying the British is coming, they're going to begin to declare, behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Hallelujah.
Make yourself ready to meet him. And I think that what just happened on the East Coast, that there was an earthquake, 5.8, 5.9 on the Richter scale, and then the same week a hurricane, that the Lord is saying, look, I'm shaking things up.
Yeah.
Everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and there's a fresh wind that's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Prepare yourself. Get ready for the revolution that I want to bring.
Amen.
That's powerful. Revolution. I mean, whoa.
So the Lord is not simply looking for revivalists.
Right.
He's looking for revolutionaries.
Yes.
I like that.
I do too.
And, you know, I was just thinking, you were talking about yesterday how people are always looking to the past, always looking to the past. But we're in the now. You spoke a little bit about the now. That was good. And how,
you know, God is, he is, lives in the ever-present. You know, he's not just the God of the past. Of course he is. He's not just the God of the future. We know he's the God of the future. But he's the God of the now, and he's moving now. And so often, we either relegate him to the past, what he's done, or we relegate him to what he's going to do. And I believe the Lord says, my mercies are new every morning. You know, when Paul said, we, you know, these light and momentary afflictions can't compare to the glory that's going to be revealed. I don't believe that's just pie in the sky by and by. I believe God wants to release his glory in this hour, and he's simply looking for a people who will agree with him.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. You know, it, just the power of your words, I mean, speaking about getting back to revival again, you know, and what he shared with you, I don't want a revival. You know, you're speaking this revival, and it's not what I want, and that's what we've been getting. But we want the revolution, a massive takeover,
right.
You know, major impact. And he's doing it, and he's placing those people like yourself and Brian and all of us, you know, together to let's go. You know, the fire's burning. Let's move out.
Yeah, we're in critical times.
Yeah, we really are.
But I want, before we end the program here, I want Andre to pray for the listeners. Maybe somebody's out there, maybe they're not saved, or maybe they're seeking something, but they don't know what it is, and it's really the Lord. And maybe you have a prayer for the people. If you'd like to, any final comments to the listeners?
Sure. All I can say is I know that right now times are tough. I know that when you look in the natural, it seems like everything is going crazy. But Jesus said that in the last days, he said men's hearts will fail. In Luke 21, men's hearts will fail them for fear for seeing the things that come on the earth. But we do not have to operate under that, because we aren't citizens of that kingdom. We're citizens of another kingdom. So we operate from the standard of the eternal realm. And you may not know Jesus right now, or you may be really discouraged, but I want you to know that the Lord is faithful. And he, in fact, there's someone, her name is Elizabeth. You're 21 years old. Wow. And you've contemplated taking your life. And the Lord wants you to know that he loves you, and that he will never leave you, and that if you will just run to him right now, that he will prove himself to you. And he highlighted you right now because he wants you to know that he knows you. He knows the very number of hairs on your head, and that he's not going to forsake you. So, Lord, I pray for Elizabeth and for all those who are listening right now who are going through hard times. God, that you are the God of comfort, you are our provision, and I ask that you would go into the very places of despair, and that you would begin to turn things around. Lord, that Lord, where people need salvation, God, you are the Savior. Jesus, go and save the lost right now. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would draw them to you. Lord, where people are broken, God, you love to put broken pieces back together. I ask that you would visit them now in the name of Jesus and bring complete restoration and wholeness in every area of their life. In Jesus' name. Mm, amen. And I thank you for it. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Andre, if there's a ministry out there that would love to have you come in, how would they contact you?
You can reach me on my website. It's www.soulscry.org.
Okay.
And that's probably the best way.
Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So you heard it right from Andre himself. Please contact him on the website. Pray for him in the ministry and his travels. Intercede for him. Sow into the ministry. He's out there evangelizing, prophesying, worship, ministering. And, honestly, hey, he depends on the donation. So I'm, I'm just being, being real.
You will be blessed. I can't say, yesterday was the first time we've seen Andre in person. And I can tell you the people that got blessed yesterday, not only by Andre singing and ministering and that way, and the presence of God was so rich, but even as he flowed with the people in the out there, just people's lives were transformed. So, yeah, if your pastor doesn't know about Andre, please inform him.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, he has several CDs out there. You gotta pick them up, and I advise not to drive while you listen to some of these. You have to pull over. But Changed by Your Love is a worship CD that Andre has, as well as Before the Throne. We've had Before the Throne for some time, and wow, whew, it'll bring it to a whole nother level. And then again, his newest CD that he mentioned. It's not out on the market yet, though, is it?
No, it's being produced in Korea.
Okay.
So I have to figure out how we get it here. But
okay. Well, hey, those funds can come in to help it get it here. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So
also,
Megan,
if people would pray for me, I'm supposed to write two books. The first one is my testimony, my life story.
Mm.
It's the name is from from Dungeon to Destiny.
Wow.
James Gall and I are writing that together. The second one is The Presence Driven Church. So,
Amen.
I don't really know how to do it, so.
Amen. The Holy Ghost is going to move through you mightily as he has all these years, Andre. I testify to that.
I can already feel the anointing on that. I was like, after he writes that, I think a few people were going to pick up the book and they were reading it 1 minute and they're laying on the floor the next. But I know people's lives are going to be changed. Can you feel that?
Oh, absolutely. God is going to make a way, definitely. And the funds will be there and the words will flow. And we'll have to have you back when those books come out, Andre.
Okay.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
The Lord.
Well, hey, everyone, we thank you so much for joining us on Upfront in the Prophetic. Bless you. We look forward to hearing from you. Just jot us an email. You can head on over to www.popem.org. That's our website, Popem with the Holy Ghost. It's actually People of Prophetic Power Ministries. You can send us an email at contactus@popem.org too, and we'd love to hear from you. God bless you. And until then, you're going to hear a segment now from one of Andre's CDs. God bless you, everyone.
Higher than the eagle fly. I'm all